Hi, and welcome to the Small Business Breakdown. I'm Emily Ashby.
I'm Bryce Hansen.
And I'm Paul Wolford.
And we are business advisors helping you break down the ins and outs of running your business. Our how-to podcast series will provide insights, education, and takeaways to help you increase revenue and have some fun along the way, because
the more you know, the more you grow.
Welcome to our podcast today. We are going to talk about what we can learn from our competitors. So, you know, going along with our how-to, Bryce, this is how to learn from our competitors. So we're talking about a competitive analysis, and this can be done at any point in your business. We're today going to take a look at it through the perspective of a startup or someone in the early planning phases and as part of market research. So I'm excited about this topic. I love doing research. A little bit of a fun thing for me, Bryce.
Yes, and there's a lot of research you can do to really understand who your competitors are, and we'll dive into that.
Yeah, so the three main points that we're going to discuss today will be, first of all, identifying who those competitors are. Second one is going to be how to conduct some online research in a simple, kind of easy ways you can do that without having to spend a lot of money and get some really good information. And the third point we're going to talk about today is doing a SWOT analysis. Kind of, if you haven't been in the business world, welcome to the SWOT analysis. So we'll be covering those three topics today. And we're going to start off, Bryce, I'll let you lead with how do we identify who those competitors are?
Yeah, and there are some of the things we're talking about now may actually, you may have thought of them already. Maybe you haven't, but as you're starting, when you start out a business and or you want to be an entrepreneur, and a lot of people listening in are just starting out, sometimes the obvious, we don't think of the obvious, but as you start to think about it, it becomes an aha moment, like, oh, of course, yeah. Or you might already do this without knowing you're doing it. So, for example, what we tell people is go ahead and Google, you know, do a Google search or a Bing search or other search engines that are out there to type the various names of the product that you have that you're thinking of, or the product category, or maybe it's a service or a service category, to see what's already out there in your area. And you can pull those up and then go into their websites, go look them up, go see the products listed. You can also do the same thing on, if you're doing physical products, go to Amazon and type in the product names there and different names of products of the competitors specifically, but also of just the category, and you'll see a bunch of things pop up, and you can scroll through the search engine page that pops up on Amazon, and just scroll through into one, two, or three, or four pages, just keep on scrolling down and seeing what's out there in that particular category to get, again, ideas of who are your competitors and what the competitor products are.
And I'll jump in and tell you, like, if you type in some of those keywords maybe that people might search to find the product you're thinking about selling, you can also see how many people have searched for that term up at the top of Google. You can kind of drop down and get an idea about how popular that term is. I mean, is this something people are even going to be searching for? So you
can tell us a little bit about how to find that.
So when you type in, I mean, it's kind of hard to do without showing, but when you type in anything, you can see that it takes, you know, it'll say 1.7 million, you know, searches have been done on certain topics. So there's different things you can do like that. Or if you already have a website and you have access to Google Analytics, or you have someone else who has a website, they can kind of help you if they're in kind of that same space. Sometimes that can be really informative too.
Great. And in addition to that, so you're using the searching on Google or Bing or on Amazon or other search engine functional websites. You can just go to the physical store. You know, go to your grocery store, your supermarket, your whatever store, whatever. Maybe it's a store at the mall, you know, if malls are still open, you know, or different places. And you can just walk around and see if it's your, and you get in your category. So if you're selling a kitchen good, maybe you go to some of those specialty kitchen utensils or tool stores that are out there, not just to a big box store. And then just walking around in your area, in your specific category, and picking up the products and testing them out or looking at them, you get a lot of data of what they're doing, you know, how they're packaging their products, just the way that they're making some of them. You don't have to buy all the products, but you can just get some ideas there. Again, this is for physical products.
Sure.
You know, what would be the corollary for a service business? I'm not sure.
I think walking into to anyone who's in that space. So you're starting a spa, mm-hmm. walk in, get a tour, get some ideas, see what people are doing well or what they need help with. And another aspect of that too is purchase that product or good or service and see what it looks like, see how you can improve on that. And same thing with local businesses. I mean, I was in a business yesterday and they had done some things really well and I'd been to a lot of similar businesses. So we were able to talk about that differentiating feature that they had and how they could promote that and kind of set them apart with that unique value proposition. So
great idea. So just going to those businesses of the type that you're thinking of doing. Again, if it's, you know, you mentioned the spa, let's say you want to start, you know, a car dealership. I don't know. There's just different ones. You want to go at least be familiar enough with those types of businesses. Now, interestingly, roughly about 45% of people who start a business start it based on their prior work experience. And so it's a kind of a given that people would understand those industries, but other times they don't. And sometimes we'll get people coming in here, and this is an interesting thing, kind of as a side note that I think goes along with this discussion, though, is if you're thinking about starting a business in a certain area and you're not as familiar with it, you should probably try to work at one of those places. Now, we have a lot of people over time. I'll just use coffee shops, for example. We have, and they all seem to come in bunches. We'll have people come in and say, I want to start a coffee shop specifically. We might have three or four around the same week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, roughly. They all come. I don't know. I'm not sure if there's like a TV show that talked about coffee shops. And so a lot of people watched it. But so we'll get a few people. And invariably, some of them have never worked in a coffee shop and they don't really understand. And so one of the pieces of advice we'd say is, you know, maybe you should go try to work for one for 3 to 6 months and see if you'd actually would like being there all the time.
And sometimes those owners are very open too. I mean, even as a customer, I'll go in and ask questions and kind of feel it out a little bit. And just to kind of tie it back, I think these are all ways that you can identify your competitors by identifying those products and services, and then being able to, once you identify those and see who your real competitors are, and we won't get into this, but there's going to be some direct competitors and some indirect competitors. So you'll want to see, you know, if you have a brick and mortar geographically, who those might be, how far apart you need to be from them, how far people will drive, really to identify who those competitors are, because you're going to find a lot of businesses throughout the country that may be selling a similar product or good or service that you might be. So
if you know, going along with the idea of going and visiting the stores and talking to those, the owners, the proprietors there, that's a great idea. And the more you do, if you're really going to open coffee shop or whatever that is, or a spa, if you talk to, you know, if you visited 10 different establishments and they all ran theirs a little bit differently, even we're in Utah, we're all based in Utah here, but not just looking at Utah, places in Utah, but outside of Utah, other parts of the country, usually they get some great ideas that people are out in, let's say, the Midwest are doing that people haven't started doing here. And so that can be an added competitive advantage to apply some of those different, whether it's marketing or services or just the way of organizing their company. There may be different bits and pieces, you know, gems, nuggets out there that can be taken into their new shop here to essentially be that, to add to their competitive advantage as they start here.
Great point. Marketing, I mean, all this competitive analysis, market research doesn't just stop and end on the clock. You got to really take it in when you can. So that first point, identifying your competitors, are really important. And then another thing that you can do, our second point is that you can do some more online research. We kind of talked about that a little bit, but we're going to kind of dive into now a little bit about your competitors' websites, what you can learn from your competitors' websites. And I think we'll just start with that. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that you should be looking online to see what your competitors are doing. And looking at those websites, you can see, you know, how they've set up their sites to be effective or not. I would look up sites not just locally but across the nation and see, because you'll find that different, you might see some trends and patterns, I guess is what I'm trying to say, in your industry that might help you be able to design your own website, but also which products do they feature first? Most likely those are products that are some of their best sellers. So, and sometimes they'll even say best seller, you know, or, you know, if you're a smaller product and you're going to be on Etsy, they actually show which products that have been sold. So you can get on and say, oh, wow, well, this fabric sold more than this fabric, or this type of product sold more than that type. So there's some research, really easy research you can do by just getting on websites. And along the lines, I think one of my favorite tools is Neil Patel, N-I-E-L-P-A-T-L, is a big marketer, and he actually has a website called Uber Suggest. So it's like the car company Uber, and suggest.com. And that's one of my favorite go-tos when I start working with a client, to kind of see where their competitors are, especially if they're a startup, so they can kind of use those same keywords. And basically will inform you where they're getting their traffic from, what keywords people are using to find them. So as you're building your own online presence, you can kind of piggyback on that and be able to apply that to what you're doing. So
that's great. Another one you can go in addition to that is to get some data on your competitors is to use Reference USA or another market research tool such as that. So if the company specifically that you're looking at, specific competitors, if they're in the list or the Reference USA database, then you'll be able to find a lot of good data, that, you know, estimation on, for example, the number of employees they have, their size of their building and their location or locations, and the gross revenue estimate. And so, you know, the gross revenue may not be totally right on, but it gives you somewhat of a ballpark. And so there's just some data points there that you can get.
That's awesome.
To help understand the market. And another way that can help too is if, let's say, you are going into a certain industry and you have enough data or enough data set within Reference USA, you can pull up the estimated revenues for all of those companies. Let's say there's 10 in your area, and there's an estimate on the amount of revenues for each of those. You can see kind of, okay, the top one is $1 million a year, the bottom one's 100,000, and everyone in the middle is probably, you know, let's say 300,000. And they've been around for, let's say, 20 years on average for each one of those those companies. You can estimate kind of really if you're doing the general approach to business for success in that industry, you probably can't be a $10 million company. It's going to be a lot harder. I mean, it's possible, but you're estimating that, you know, there's probably a reason why all the companies are roughly around 300,000 to 400,000 a year, and they have seven employees on average. So that can give you some data and understanding of how likely you're going to be. Now, there's always outliers, and if you're extremely awesome at what you do, maybe you can go higher. But generally speaking, sometimes people kind of overestimate their abilities quickly to be really giant, whereas it may take them, 5 years to get to, 400,000 in this particular industry. And so that's why where that competitive analysis there through these tools can really be helpful. And by the way, the SBDC network here in Utah, we have those tools. We usually will run reports for people as they come in and they meet with us. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's just a great reminder of the whole startup kind of excitement. Sometimes we do kind of anticipate and get our eyes get a little bit bigger than, maybe realistically what might happen. And that can be really disappointing for a lot of people when they first start out. I frequently meet with people. I thought, I'd be up and running by this first year, these first few months. I really wanted to pay back and be out of debt by the end of the year. And they just opened in November and they haven't even, embedded their website or, with mm-hmm. keywords and that type of thing. So that's a good reminder too, that you want to kind of be very optimistic, realistic, but optimistic. I think it's really important when you're doing any sort of analysis and trying to make an informed decision about your own business and strategy. So great. Awesome. So we wrap up that second point, which is kind of that online research. Actually, before we wrap it up, I just want to jump in and say sometimes getting into Facebook groups, your competitors.
Yes.
If you can get in, sometimes they'll ask you those questions, but sometimes, you know, there's a lot of networking that can be done throughout the nation because maybe you're not a direct competitor within a local geographical area. So hopping into those groups can be really helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities there. So that's one great thing Facebook's done is to bring people from different areas together to network. Yeah.
And socially, social network.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, owned it. They owned it. So, okay. Anyway, so we're moving on now to our third point, which is conducting a SWOT analysis. Oh, you know what? Oh, we're not moving on yet, Bryce. We didn't even talk about social media.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time? We don't want to, you know, people all only right. have it. They have to listen to this on their commute. So I just want to make sure we get this. Yeah, I really want to talk about using social media.
Let's talk about social media. And we'll touch on the SWOT because the SWOT has just a little bit of how it's a kind of tangential and can touches on this a little bit.
Tangential. Can you go ahead and define that?
Tangential.
I'm the worst.
So social media. So let's talk about that.
Let's do it.
Facebook. You're an Instagram expert on staff here.
Thank you. Yes. I do use. I mean, really, Instagram's kind of become that final frontier in my mind for small businesses. Well, final and immediately final.
She's a Star Trek fan, by the way.
How did you know that? It's the new one though, Chris Pine. We digress.
All right,
I think that the reason why so many businesses are going to Instagram we're in 2021 now, and this is kind of where we're at, is that some of these bigger players have kind of boxed out small businesses because we don't have the money to throw at advertising. Even as you're searching now, we call it above the fold, when you pull up your screen and you can only see what is from the bottom of your screen up, they call that above the fold. And if you even scroll down a little bit with these search engines now, it's big players. It's really hard to break in on that front page right now. And so Instagram still, because of the way their algorithm works, we still have a chance to be seen through hashtags and just being really smart about how we curate our feeds. So anyway, that's kind of been the go-to. That's why you probably bring it up. But I do think when you're doing competitive analysis, you should look at all the platforms, because your competitor may be on a platform that you never thought about. So for example, you may be selling a product or service and you may get on LinkedIn and find that your competitor is actually posting about these products and services, connecting with potential distributors, buyers. There's a lot of potential like on LinkedIn that you may not think about. So I would look at all of the major platforms, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Google Plus used to be a part of that. I'm not as up on Google Plus as much as I used to be, but who else? Let's say it again.
Plus is gone.
Is it gone?
It's gone.
Delete. Swipe left on my last comment. Thank you, Paul. Yes, I threw it out there, but I'm like, wait a minute. It's not really, I don't even been on. So that makes sense. What am I forgetting? Those are kind of the big players that you want to look at.
You said TikTok.
TikTok, yeah. So yes. It depends on your target market. But look at all. And even after this podcast, there's going to be social networks popping up. So I look everywhere. At this point in time, Instagram's kind of where small businesses are finding the most ability to reach without spending a lot of money. So when I look at competitors on Instagram, one of the things that I'll do with clients is we'll look at those competitors and we'll look at their follower count. So I had one client who said, I'm doing all these things that my competitor's doing, but they have 10,000 followers. But you look at their posting and you look at the engagement, and this is really fun. So you have to look at those, how not just the number of followers, but how many people are actually engaging with that brand. So the sweet spot for an influencer, like if a big brand is looking to find someone to talk about their product, their sweet spot is 4-6% of their total followers. So Bryce, you're really, really good with numbers. So let's say that this client I have, her competitor has 10,000 followers. Mm-hmm. How many likes, shares, comments, saves would be between 4-6%? 4% of 10,000.
Oh, 400? 600.
4-6, is that 10%? That's 1%. How much is 4%? It would be 400 likes.
Mm-hmm. 400-600 likes.
Wow. I don't know why I think that's so big. I feel like we should start over because of my math skills, but it's okay. So if you look at their feed and those posts aren't in that range, then maybe there's something else going on. First of all, they're not getting the reach. Even if they have the followers, doesn't look good for their brand. But one way you can do that is click on followers and see who's following them. And what I do is I'll just take my phone like this and I'll hit it like this and I'll scroll down the followers. And when you get to the end, you may start to see things like this. And this is how you can tell if they're spam accounts too. People ask me this all the time. A lot of times spam accounts will have underscores, periods. They'll have a lot of XOXO, any sort of sexual innuendo, usually fake accounts. And that's why when people are creating their usernames, I kind of encourage them not to use periods and underscores, because in the beginning, those were like sure ways to know that they were spam accounts. So some of those that have been on Instagram for a long time may identify you as not a real brand or account if you use those. Newer users aren't as aware of that. But anyway, so... yeah, so you want to look at those accounts. Oftentimes, they don't have profile pictures. If you click on their accounts, they're going to have a lot of... they're following a lot of brands, but they don't have a lot of followers. So, and basically, what those are is they're fake accounts that people have paid companies to... This Instagram now is getting really good at cutting these out, but there's still hundreds of thousands out there that are fake followers for people. And so you just want to be aware that they may have bought followers. So just know that as you're looking at that, that's a really good way to look at to see whether or not their feed is being effective is really if people are engaging. The other thing is looking from post to post. If they have a really high engagement for one post and low for another, you can look at the content, the time of day of the week. You look at all these kind of look for trends and patterns. But the other thing is they may have promoted that post. So keep that in mind. If there's a huge spike, usually there's a reason why, and often it's because they promoted or paid a little bit to boost that post. So I could talk about this forever, though. Look at, don't yawn. Everyone, wake up. Just kidding. Love it.
Well, so you're the expert on Instagram.
I get
so
a little
we're taking it in. And I know folks who are watching are taking it in too.
Yeah, no, just trial and error. I mean, that's kind of how I run about 8 to 10 accounts at any one time at all spectrums, from high followers to low, and I'm constantly testing. So anyway, there you have it. So another tip I will give as far as social media is they now have apps. Like I just became aware of an app called 10th West, and it's for local businesses. So you put in, you download the app and you put your geographic location, and it will pull up like local products, local services, local, and it even gets more specific into like massage or photography. You can pick that area, and that's a real. I just think that this is going to be a really great tool for businesses, because we're going to be able to see exactly who in our area, who's popping up and having those competitors. The other thing is the competitors that are on these up and coming apps are usually pretty forward thinking, and pretty. I don't know if it's aggressive is the right word, but they're constantly looking for that latest thing. And so those are great brands to kind of watch and follow, because if you have one that's kind of a trailblazer in your industry, you want to be on that, right behind that, if not you being the trailblazer. So
that's great. We'll have to check that out.
Second
West. 10th West? 10th West or Second West?
10th West. And it's filled out 10th West. So
10th West.
Second
right.
West. If you've been to Salt Lake, you know that's, I don't even think they're Utah based actually. So there's that. yeah. So that's kind of the second, we'll kind of wrap up that second point of online search and social media websites, and then move on to that SWOT analysis is our third point of kind of getting to know your competitors and analyzing where you are compared to them.
Yeah, great. So when we talk about SWOT, what we mean is it's an acronym, SWOT, SWOT.
With or without a gun?
Well, a gun, it would be with an A, right? So with a gun, just joking. So strength, so S stands for your strength. So what are your strengths? W is what are your weaknesses? O is what are the opportunities out there for your business? And T is threat. What are the threats that are potentially could undermine your company? And so as far as looking at that in a competitive analysis or a competitor research angle, you're truly looking at what are your strengths of your competitors and what are the opportunities that they're jumping on. Can you, and we kind of alluded to this, What are they doing well that then maybe you could do well? Could you also jump in the same way or similar way? And that opportunity for them, which is a threat to you, becomes your opportunity. And if they have a strength there, what are they doing? You know, looking at, again, looking at their weaknesses. And you can usually, every company has strengths. Every company has weaknesses. And so can you differentiate yourself based on what you see from them?
So good. I think in customer service may be the way that you do that, because there's some places you walk in and nobody even acknowledges you. They don't, you know, and then you're like, well, no, we're going to be that company, that local company where we get a warm welcome. And, you know, there's simple things you can do to differentiate yourself. So here's some questions that I think are really great as you're kind of doing that SWOT analysis, not only for your competitor, but you kind of mentioned in your own business as well. And what I love about SWOT is you don't have to necessarily use it for one thing. I mean, you could do a SWOT on your marketing. You could do a SWOT on your product. You could do a SWOT on your relationships. I'm joking, but not really. Here's some questions you can kind of think about. For example, what is your competitor doing really well with products, content marketing, social media, customer service? What are they doing well? Second one is, where does your competitor have an advantage over your brand? So think about that a little bit. What is the weakest area for your competitor? What does your brand have the advantage over your competitor? What could they do better with? In what areas would you consider this competitor as a threat? And here's a final question. Are there opportunities in the market that your competitor has identified? And, you know, they say that, what is the quote that, what's the best form of flattery? Copying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is throughout time, we've talked about this. Even like artists throughout time, I love to use this example, have built on each other's work and just kind of perfected it and made it better. And we have too, you know, we've developed computers because someone has, created the systems, and then someone else has taken them, tweaked, and we've just, that's how things develop, right? Mm-hmm. It's really about development. So really not so much copying. Let's call it developing. Price
developing based on other people's designs.
Yep. Exactly. So just some things to think about as you're kind of, you know, looking at those competitors. It just kind of gives you a guide. The SWOT analysis gives you kind of a guide to go by. It makes it easier.
Yeah. And really to go along with that though, to copy, it's, you know, there is, there's a lot to that. People, you'd make something great, you build it, and there's always a fresh perspective that then someone can make that even better. And then after, you know, that's kind of the basis of, you know, the patent system, is you can protect yourself with certain things, but then it can be added to and added to. And sometimes you're right, though, just blatant stealing and copying can happen. But, you know, ultimately the idea is if it's different enough and you get ideas from other people. And I think that's where competitive, sometimes we look down on competitors. But I can tell you, there's kind of this, there is this, you don't like your competitors, but sometimes you'll get ideas from them and to make your own stuff better. And that can only, that can be a positive cycle. And I've seen that, you know, in as our advising and in my own business. So
I love it. I think in all of this just helps us make a more informed decision. As you're doing the competitive analysis, I think that it can really help you decide, especially if you're in the formation phases of a business, is there a market for what your business idea is? I think sometimes you have to take a really long, hard look at the numbers and the stats, and it's easy to get excited mm-hmm. and carried away and wanting to jump in, but I can't tell you, even in my own life, how many businesses where I really do let it stew and percolate, and then I'll do that research and realize, oh, wow, no, this would be a dead end, or mm-hmm. I would spend all my time and energy doing this. And so just something you just really need to think about, make sure that you kind of always have that bigger picture in mind of whether or not it's going to be feasible and what that even looks like in the next 5 years. Is your product going to be obsolete? And I kind of had that with my own business with camera coats the camera coats they protected the larger DSLR cameras, kind of those Costco cameras. But as phones got better, you know, I had to pivot and do more with camera straps because people weren't using those cameras as much. So anyway, making informed decisions. So yeah, keep those in mind. So just to wrap up, those three points again are identifying your competitors, doing that simple online research, and then conducting a SWOT analysis can all help you help you learn from your competitors. And so I hope you've enjoyed this podcast of how to learn from your competitors. And we'd like to give a shout out to Cameron Wellness and Spa. Bryce is like, who are we shouting out?
Yeah,
to
not only she does a great job. She brings these. She you're doing a great job. You know, highlighting these folks
yes,
that are
no,
working
so
with
great.
Us.
Cameron yeah. Wellness and Spa is a local business. They've been for 17 years, and they're in Sugar House. Do some really great natural. If you're looking for kind of a more natural view for business, they do a myriad of things. The IVs, Bryce. I don't know if you've ever had like a nutritious IV, which. Very interesting and very popular now. You know, acupuncture, massage, they have a whole spa. So anyway, there's a little plug for our friends at Cameron Wellness. And also, we always want to give a shout out to the mill here, the incubator and co-working space. That's
and
here
where,
on the
where are we
floor.
Located here? The address is 9750 South, 300 West, Sandy, Utah.
And we're kind of lucky to Paul here because he's the marketing director of the mill and also here our director of the podcast. So yeah, the mill's a great resource for local businesses. If you're looking for help, there's also classes that are offered not only through us at the SBDC, but through the mill, bagels and business and some other opportunities for you. So big plug to our friends here. And is there anything I missed, Bryce,
I think
before
that's
we
it.
Wrap it
and
up?
Just, okay. We're part of the Small Business Development Center Network in Utah, located at we're the Salt Lake region. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Yeah. But we have our final tagline, right?
Oh boy, here we go. Are you ready? And this is maybe you should say it, and then I'll mimic you to show how important copying is.
Copying, yes. Flattering. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's practice that.
Okay.
The more you know, the more you grow.
The more you know, the more you grow.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. The Utah SBDC is funded in part through a cooperative agreement with the U.S. Small Business Administration.